Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz After Show. Tonight we are talking about episode 16, Paradise Lost. It's a tale of two brothers, amazing fight scenes, as well as the latest news and gossip. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there! Everybody, how are we all doing tonight after that crazy, crazy episode?
Trying to wrap my mind around it all.
Oh my God.
So many things.
There's so much Marvel tonight, I can't handle it,
you
guys.
We are Marvel overload. There's so much good stuff to talk about, so let's not waste any more time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Zach Wilson.
Hey guys, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. That's Zach Wilson. And I got you guys in the chat.
Joyce Ajuri.
Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajuri. Watch our reaction, or kind of, to the Doctor Strange trailer.
Oh, it's already gone. We only got half of it. Yeah.
I got like 5 seconds on Snapchat.
We will talk about the trailer. Yeah. That's why we're late. Yeah. We had to go watch it. At the end of the show. Because there's so much S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about,
there's
you guys.
There's so much S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk
Hive.
About.
Hive.
Hive. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's TGMENGUIN. We are also going to be following along with the hashtag ABTV Marvel. Sadly, our fellow host, Jesse Klein, could not be here tonight. He drew the white stone. We had to sacrifice him. We had to sacrifice him for the greater good.
He declined our invitation.
Not going to say that I cheated. But I am wearing black tonight.
You said together till the end, Zach.
You lied.
I said no such thing. I think I was pretty clear that I was going to worm my way out of
that. He is on another planet right now.
Being
crying.
Being used by a parasite.
He's really crying because there's no parasite over there. So he's just like holed up in Will's cave.
There.
Like, what is happening?
He's like, now what do I do?
He's like, I don't even get any awesome inhuman powers to offset this alien isolation. It's not fair. So, since we're already making jokes about it, let's talk about the meat of the episode, which is the flashbacks that we get with...
For the record, Jesse will be back next week.
Yeah, he's fine, guys. He's fine. He's not hashtag declined. Oh, how dare you. How dare you,
You're
Steve.
Welcome, audience.
But he's not dead. He's fine. But yeah, he'll be joining us next time. But yeah, let's talk about these flashbacks between Gideon and his brother, Nathaniel, who this was very interesting. The second we were introduced to Nathaniel, we knew we were going to get a different side of Gideon because we've never seen anybody in his family except for his daughter.
Yeah, I immediately started like, who's Nathaniel?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any Nathaniels.
Like, we kind of had a feeling this wasn't going to end well, but I'll be honest, it wasn't until the pond where I kind of started to see where it was going.
Yeah.
And even then, I didn't expect it to be like a sort of backstabbing situation. I thought it was just, well, yeah, that's ironic, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing this side of Gideon. Like, I wrote down in my notes, and I know this is like maybe being a little too nice, but it was interesting seeing him as like a good dad. Like, he had a daughter who respected him, who he raised the way he wanted to raise her.
They
had a great relationship, and she seemed to believe in his beliefs. And, like,
yeah,
you know, it was good to see that side of him.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me, the distinction of the two separate branches of Hydra, that there's this one religious branch and then the one very much based in science and just conquering the earth. Like forget what we're like, forget our origins. Like, we are in the now is Whitehall's Hydra.
Which it makes sense that an organization as big as Hydra would fracture into so many different, you know, still be unified under the same umbrella, so to speak, but would be fractured in a sense because lots of people have different beliefs. And when you get a bunch of powerful people in a room together, they're not going to agree. Everybody's going to... people who have had... like, who are entitled, who have had things handed to them all their lives, they're going to think they're right. So, like, depending on what your belief is, whether it's in science or whether it's in a crazy tentacle monster, like, I, you know, you're going to be set in whatever ways in it. So it was very interesting to see this divide. And it was interesting seeing Whitehall again, too. I never thought we'd see him again. And so it was a nice callback. And seeing his relationship, too, with his brother, the fact that it ended so tragically, I mean, and that it happened the way it did, because ultimately Gideon didn't want to die, but there was no malice. It's not like he purposely sent his brother off so that he could inherit the family fortune. It was literally, it just came down to the two of them, and he didn't want to die.
Like, it was just pure chance.
But again, given the choice, he elected to save himself.
Which is weird. It adds a different, I guess, level of depth to Gideon. Because, like, before tonight, I was like,
Standard villain stuff, right?
He's such a villain. Like, there's nothing about him to me that was, like, redeeming. And, like, I know last week he killed somebody, right? But it was not really his choice, like, to an extent. But part of me was like, oh, he's just, you know, I felt kind of bad for him then. But tonight, I really felt bad for him. I mean, he had some sort of quality to him, like, you know, his relationship with Stephanie, or like his past, we found out more about him. Like, tonight I was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like,
it humanized
him a lot.
I
didn't like what he was going through tonight, despite what he's done
and
to others.
This entire episode, he's facing two different things. It's the possibility that some remnant of his brother is residing within Hive. And if that's the case, then the knowledge of what he did, you know, basically throwing his brother to the sharks to save his own skin, and then two, the knowledge of his own mortality and how painful and awful it will be. He was anticipating that that was going to happen in front of everybody in the inner circle, in front of his daughter. He was expecting to meet his end by the time we got to tonight's episode, and that's not what we got.
Yeah.
It was, I will say, I was disappointed, because when Stephanie was initially introduced, I was expecting more from her. But at the same time, it is a very Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing to introduce somebody and then to introduce a potential villain or somebody you think is going to be a really big bad villain and then to kill them prematurely.
Well, made it so devastating, because we were all like, and I think they knew this going in, that we're like even up until that moment where she falls away, I was like, oh, they're making her into Madame Hydra. This is going to be crazy.
There she goes.
And then she, like, even when, like, he starts, like, putting his
tongue down.
Killing
her.
You can just say killing her. Because it's so gross.
His spores into her. That's what he's doing.
It's true.
I thought, like, oh, he's making her into,
He's turning her into a believer.
Yeah.
On the table?
I mean, if he killed her, I guess technically he could take over her body.
Yeah. He could reanimate her corpse.
We haven't really been clear about his rules yet in terms of creating human thralls, like people he controls. Like, they've hinted that he can, but they haven't outright said it.
Yeah.
So until we see it, I think we have to assume that it's not possible.
Like, she's just dead right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's dead.
Which sucks, because I liked her. There's something about her that because I feel like her belief was so honest.
Yeah.
Like, it was so pure to me. Like, it wasn't sullied by, you know, she didn't do anything, at least not that we know of.
Interesting.
She's still in Hydra.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend she's blameless or
she's
innocent.
She's not innocent at all. She is a member of one of the most evil organizations on the planet.
Let's just be clear. If I were in Hydra, I'd want to be like Stephanie.
In terms of being smart and ambitious and successful, those aren't inherently evil qualities. but no, I liked her too, mostly because I thought we were going somewhere with this, and we get very early on Hive saying that she has an important role to play in all this. Again, this is when Gideon still thinks that he's going to end up dead, and we had thrown around the theory that maybe his daughter was going to be instrumental in that, but no, the purpose that she served was balancing the scales, as Hive put it. And this also illustrates a very interesting dimension of Hive, because we got a hint of it last episode when he was referring to Grant Ward's experiences as his own experiences.
Yeah.
And we're left guessing throughout the episode whether or not Hive does retain the memories of all the hosts he's inhabited, and he does.
Yeah.
And I do want to give a nod to the scriptwriters and the filmmaker and everybody who was involved in the production for this, because all of that stuff with the rocks and the pond, very, very good stuff. That's really good visual storytelling, so kudos to them on that.
Yeah, and visual storytelling in, like, not in the sense of, like, oh, we used big action set pieces or visual effects or anything like that. That was just good storytelling, yeah. Like, giving us a backstory. I liked, like, Whitehall's little appearance. It, like, really set the world. It really helped. Again, this is, like, the good thing when you can pull someone like that into the story naturally. To bring a character back for, like, just a moment, it makes it feel more complete. Like, this is all... forgive me, it's all connected.
But it doesn't feel like it came out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, this all works. Even this, like, crazy religious Hydra that I was just like, what?
Well, I guess there are some branches of Hydra. It's kind of like any, like, a national or, like, organization like the Key Club or something like that. They're different chapters, and some chapters like to form barbershop quartets and drink, and other organizations like to have blood sacrifices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
They're all a part of the same organization. I do want to talk to you guys about the tease, because we thought we were going to see Hive fully revealed, and we kind of did.
They blue balls us.
A little bit, yeah.
Show us Alvy's face.
It was so mean.
I'm calling him Alvy from now on, guys, like, by Alvy. The way. His name is, like, Alvius. That means that Hive's name is Alvy.
Can we call him that? I like that name.
Oh, that's I think we're gonna call him Alvy.
Okay,
I have a feeling. You know how, like, names become trendy when they come out, like with Twilight, like Isabelle got really popular. Alvy and Alvius are gonna be so popular this year. I'm calling it. That's my prediction for today. It's a good name.
Okay, so we didn't get to see Alvy's face, and I will say that I was expecting us to eventually cut back and see the reveal, like, somebody, like, thinking about it and, like, ah, that was his face. But I will say that even though they didn't show us his face, that scene in particular was done really well. The effects looked really good. And it was, again, if they're not going to show us his face, that was a really good point to cut it off. Not really great. And there's also the danger of showing too much, because I know we want to see his face, but at the same time, there is a definite good chance of making it too goofy.
I mean, remember how we reacted to Lash when we first saw him?
We laughed. We pointed and laughed.
This, like, I mean, and there's, like, when it first came up, I'm like, oh, this is a little reminiscent of Lash. Just because, like, the tentacles Well, the tentacles coming down. But, like, this looked so good. At least this part of it, in terms of, like, what I always pictured as Hive. Like, what I know him as from the books. Like, we still have to see the face.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big part of it. But, like, at least it looks good here.
We got a tweet from Alvin on Twitter. He says, for the love of me, don't call him Alvy.
I'm sorry, Alvin.
As you wish, Alvin.
His name is Alvy. I'm
We're
sorry.
Really
we
sorry.
Can't do anything about it.
It's been decided. I'm sorry, Alvin.
Our directors at
our hands are
Shield.
Tight.
It's ear-
our
hands are we tight. Can't
mandate from you know, Sector 7, 8, one of those.
We won't call him Alvin, though. How about that?
Never.
Just Alvy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alvin. Anyway, we could
call him Vaeus.
That's too good of a name. Like, that's the thing.
It's still cool sounding.
Do you prefer Al or maybe just Din? Or how about Laddie? Never mind. We could call him Al.
They still haven't said Hive.
Yeah.
I thought they were about to when Simmons was describing, Simmons and Coulson were talking about, like, he's a parasite and he's like,
I mean, it's hard. You know, you're right. They haven't referred to him, but in the subtitles, he
houses, like, the insect or the parasite. So, like, I guess whatever body he's in is kind of like the hive.
Yeah. Oh, I just mean they haven't said it out loud.
They haven't.
I wonder how they
nobody's
come
called
to that.
Him Hive to his face. He hasn't said, we are called Hive. Yeah.
I was waiting for Coulson to be like, it's almost like he's a hive. Yeah. Like just like when they were starting to introduce in humans, they were like, it's something
I think they maybe would have face-palmed a little bit if they came out with like some corny
I would have
roundabout
loved
way
it.
To call him
I
hive.
Would have loved it. And I'm still expecting it. They'll do it
it'll
eventually.
Come. I think it'll be a lot more like tactical.
Yeah. But again, there's a lot of implications with the fact that he does retain these memories. It has a lot of implications for Grant Ward's reactions to the rest of the team and a possible vendetta against, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. not only poses just a threat to Hive's mission, but if he really does retain those memories and harbor resentment for years and years and years based on those memories, we can bet he's going to want payback.
I love that because I didn't mean to do this, but that's a true hive mind. And not just in like hive, but like the general term of like a hive mind, the way that you think about it is when you incorporate a new person into that brain, those memories and experiences become part of that person. And like,
it's like a Borg.
I thought it was so interesting the way that it bled into, like, I am Grant Ward,
mm-hmm.
or the two of us when he's talking to Gideon.
Like he's all of those people.
Together to the end. And he just flowed seamlessly into that.
Yeah.
And they are together till the end within Hive.
That's so bizarre.
Like, Will's in there too. So
Simmons can be affected.
That'll be interesting. Eventually, I have to think Hive's going to come. Well, she's in the compound now. So I think Hive's going to have to come face to face with Simmons. And I wonder if
you left me there to die.
Well, like, Coulson too. I mean, I didn't stop to think how much this could affect him, like, while watching. Like, I know he's really traumatized, but like, he's gonna come back.
I say Gemma because I wonder if there's any latent like feelings for Simmons,
or
like,
unfortunately maybe
there.
Even Daisy. I know that's gonna make the shippers go crazy, but there is potential for latent feelings. Although, let's face it, after Agent 33, Grant Ward hates all of them.
Yeah.
So, like, there's highly doubt that they're gonna exist. Yeah, no. I really hope they don't, because also the whole fact that like, this thing has her uncle's memories and then straight up, like, made out with Stephanie as he killed her. That was just, it was so gross.
In fairness, her uncle never knew her.
It doesn't matter.
Why is incest finding its way into literally everything I watch? It's disgusting and it's bothering me.
It's not incest. He is an alien. He is an inhuman from 4,000 years ago who has taken over the body of not her uncle.
But his memories are there.
You were the one saying
his
you are your memories.
His personality traits could easily come out. Like, they are.
We saw it. It did come out. Ew.
I'm just saying the only thing that, like, links family is DNA, and he doesn't have any DNA.
I'm saying that doesn't make it better. It's still gross, and I want my TV to stop doing it. The only reason I'm upset by it is because so much of what I've been watching, like, will find a way to sneak that in there. Over the past, like, 5 years,
it just keeps picking up.
It just keeps
it's getting
up.
Weird. All right. You know what? TV writers, chill.
Stop it.
Chill or go see your therapist more. I don't know which one it needs to be. Work on it.
Stop the incest. I don't want to become necessarily a meme where it's a motivational poster with just me saying,
right,
stop the incest.
All right. Let's move on.
But we should move on for sure.
Alvy, Squidward, Hive, whatever you are.
Whatever you want to call him.
Nor Zoidberg.
So Gideon still has his inevitable death at Hive's hands. coming. Like, he's already lost his daughter, and he knows this thing is eventually going to kill him. So it's just a matter of, well, am I going to die as a result of his sudden but inevitable betrayal, or am I going to take steps to try to stop this thing that murdered my daughter and my brother?
Ooh. I feel like he has nothing to lose at this point. So possibly the latter. Like, I think he would probably try to stop.
He's like, you're going to kill me anyway. Yeah. Might as well.
Like, if he can't prevent his fate, if he already saw what's going to happen to him and his daughter is dead, he doesn't have any more family around. Like, I feel like his belief for his mission is unraveling already. So it's kind of like, what's he got to lose?
He's got to man up, face his fate.
Man up.
Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to Daisy and Lincoln, because they're tracking down this one inhuman who was booted out of Afterlife. His name is James, or kind of like a discount Wolverine type guy, who was booted out for trying to steal from Jiaying, and also going on and on about this potential threat coming to Earth, is ancient evil. So, of course, he's the proper person to track down. What did you guys think of James?
Of James?
I don't know. You've been talking about Eden a lot? Is that his name?
Eden Fassi.
Yeah. So when they said, like, Australian dude.
The like, Australian, like, set my brain off, too. Like, yeah, like, it's not that, James, though.
Yeah, I know. I knew it wasn't going to be him. Yeah. But I want to know what James's powers are.
Well, he doesn't have any now.
Yeah, I want to know what's inside. Like, I kind of, like, I mean, he was so isolated, right? Like, he's living in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina?
Don't
South
get
Dakota?
Many neighbors when you
don't
have landmines over the place.
I don't know if he's up to speed with, like, the fish oil thing, but, like, can you just take some fish oil?
Yeah.
If he just watched the news.
If he just went to the store and took his vitamins and instead of, like, planting bombs.
It's not any fish oil, though. Like, to be fair, the ATCU, I feel like, has done a pretty good job of, like, getting that
off the shelves. Yeah, that's very true. I'm sure as soon as they found out what was the cause, there was a massive recall and everything like that. But still, you would think that some of that stuff ended up on the black market.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. As far as I could tell, this character is just like a random, like, reference to, like, a nothing comic book character. But, like, they're like, I found, like, James Larner. He's a MI6 demolitions agent who appeared in a, like, two issues of Master of Kung Fu.
What was his thing, though? What was his deal?
Nothing. He's just like a guy.
He's
just a random guy. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. does that. S.H.I.E.L.D. gives nods to characters that otherwise don't get spotlight.
Why not? Like, I'm sure that the script coordinator on this show has a list of, like, these are all the insignificant characters from Marvel. If we ever just need to throw a name in there, just pick one off this list because it's an established person. So it's going to clear because it's already a pre-established, like, character, and, like, then it gets to be a nod to the one person who caught it without going onto Wikipedia.
Yeah, he could have been anybody, in all honesty, because his main point was to serve two functions. One is to present them with the Kree alien orb doodad, and two was to establish that Lincoln, again, as we're coming to find out more and more, isn't necessarily the good guy or Mr. Perfect, as Daisy put him.
He has a very checkered past.
Yeah, even more so than we think. Like, he almost killed someone, albeit by accident.
Yeah.
But by the way this guy was making it sound, it sounded like they got into a fight and he, beat her.
I felt like he was being violent, like, physically violent with her and, like, killed her, but didn't because he wasn't, like, strong enough yet. That was the impression I was getting,
like,
too.
Or, like, it was right after he got his powers and he lost his temper and, like, it went out of control. Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was just drinking and driving.
Yeah.
And getting into an argument. So, again, maybe this is saved better for predictions, but what do you think are the implications of this Kree artifact? Because
There's so much of that, so I almost didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's possible that it's something that could neutralize Hive. It's also possible that, I don't know, maybe it's to help give the Inhumans that are already there a power boost. For whatever it is, it sounds like it's something meant to combat Hive.
Yeah, which I think he might, he'll catch wind of it being around, and he'll probably try to take it away from them, and it'll put them in danger.
I'm sure he remembers it.
But also, how did James know to keep that thing in the fridge?
I think it's just like, he's like, no one's going to look for it in the vegetable drawer.
What if putting it in the fridge totally destroyed?
Like, what was he keeping? Was that in like a
coffee? It was like a popcorn tin or something.
I think when you're like turning a place upside down, like the fridge is just not a place you generally look. I don't know. Keep it cold. Keep it.
I like to think the bombs would keep everyone out of his house.
Maybe just all of his other drawers just weren't big enough for that. Maybe.
I'll be honest. Like, I know it's supposed to be connected to Inhumans and so Kree and all that. There was this moment where like it opened up and it looked, the lines, the way the lines were, looked just like the window from the Doctor Strange posters that they just put out.
Oh.
And from like the Eye of Agamotto designs like that we've seen so far. It set me. I was like, are they really doing? It's Kree.
It does look very Kree, though. From everything that we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy, it looks very
Kree. That's what
Kree.
I thought of. I thought of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and it absolutely does make sense that it would be a weapon to control Hive, because the Kree are very intelligent. If they create a warrior race, they're going to put in a contingency plan. Thank you.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, in our theorizing, at least, that makes two, if that's what this is. Because we're seeing Lash as the failsafe to... Lash is now born into the world because Hive is coming back.
Intelligent design thing that we keep falling back on.
Whatever intelligent design is, if it's that powerful, it very well might be smart enough to, like, create it when they just, like, it's coming. I mean, if it can create a guy who can see the future, who knows what it's capable of.
What's concerning, or disconcerting, I suppose, is that what if this orb is a kill switch and not, like, a failsafe of, like, oh, this will neutralize him? Because he's meant to command the Inhuman army for the Kree. That is his function. What if this orb is set to kill off, like, a number of, like, all of the Inhumans that he's currently controlling, to just wipe them all off?
I feel like it wouldn't make sense if it only targeted, like, those...
Could deactivate Inhumans, though.
It could deactivate all of them.
It could neutralize powers. Or maybe it's just an explosion. Maybe what we see in Daisy's vision is them trying to avoid a massive explosion on Earth caused by this orb that was just being kept in a refrigerator for years.
He is a demolitions expert. I think the putting in the fridge makes sense, because even with like explosives, you do want to keep them cool.
Maybe he's just like, Jiayin kept it in her fridge, maybe I should keep it in mine.
Oh, maybe.
That's a good point.
We don't know how she had her office arranged.
He's like, I'm gonna steal a sandwich from her, and then like while I'm in here,
he was really hungry when he decided to steal all her stuff,
and also kind of ADD,
very easily distracted. But anyway, do we have any other thoughts on this particular on Daisy and Lincoln's adventure?
Well, I mean, we got to talk about his revelation, right?
Yes.
Like the drunk driving thing.
Well, we did touch on that. But another thing to kind of touch on is this, the fact that all Inhumans, not just people like Lash, but apparently all Inhumans feel this sort of emptiness.
Yeah.
That there is something missing in their lives, and they all have to kind of mitigate that in some way. And I think that maybe Hive was always meant to be that missing piece. At least from the sound of it.
Well, we learn that he's he was designed to lead this army.
Yeah,
right.
Alvey, good old Alvey.
Yeah, General Alvey. and on that, to me, that's fascinating. That like they decide, like they pick this one this one specific Inhuman. Like, you will lead all the Inhumans, and then the story is that the Inhumans had to, I guess he just became like a crazy ruler.
I mean, probably went mad with power, drank his own Kool-Aid.
Yeah, the Inhumans had to band together with regular humans to stop him.
Well, and we keep getting pieces of this legend, and I'm wondering if when it was prophesied that he would come back, if the Inhuman, if like the way it is foretold to stop him is Inhumans partnering with humans again. Which,
thus the Secret Warriors!
It's kind of happening right now.
It's happening!
Oh, man.
Huh. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we take a quick break?
No, we don't barely have time to do that.
Other than Daisy just told Lincoln that she saw, you know, someone on the team die. I know we mentioned that it could be like her vision of what we think is Yo-Yo in the ship in the universe.
It looks like Yo-Yo because
like
the necklace
Yo-Yo's
is
crossed.
There, but that's too easy.
Yeah,
like,
but also no one might be dead, and she might just be misinterpreting what she saw, which we know happens.
Or could be somebody that we don't care about dying dies.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's just a death.
Yeah.
It could have, for all we know, she's seeing Hive's death.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's what it is, but that's a possibility.
But it's, it sounds like she knows for sure it's definitely somebody on the team.
Yeah.
But before we continue on, we got to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes, because you guys are just the best. Honestly, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz fans are the best fans.
Wow, they're so
mean. And we love hearing from you guys. We love going to iTunes to see what you guys have to say about the show. It is the best way to hear, to show our producers that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And it is also a really good thing that guests and people at Marvel actually do pay attention to, as we've seen before. So it really means the world to us when you guys go to iTunes to rate and leave a comment. And when you do, you'll even get a shout out on the show.
I'm gonna blow through these real quick because there's so many. You guys are awesome. Jula Bell, MN. Interesting podcast. This is a really fun and insightful podcast to listen to if you are a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Artist / mother / Marvel nerd. I watch you guys every Wednesday morning. It's an East Coast girl.
Cool.
That's fine. I know it's late.
It's super late.
It's
Thank
fine.
You.
It's late
Thank you
for
to
us.
Everybody who's watching on the
fine.
Live chat, BTW.
You're all amazing. For someone who used to have to have time to read comics, but no longer, I really appreciate listening, watching you all, getting the extra insight. Thank you, Guppy66. Makes my day. Caroline N. says, I'm doing it for the people. Let's get them to 600. The singing was hilarious, but not good enough to do it another time.
No.
Too bad.
No.
It's going to happen. I think we're going to revise it so that it's going to happen.
I'm trolling.
Whether we do it on the air or off the air is in your hands.
Yep.
So keep writing in. So whether you want it or not, keep writing in, because we don't want to discourage anyone. Please, thank you.
We're trying to find a way to make everybody happy.
Because we're at 553 right now. 554 right now. That's nuts. It's nuts, you guys.
That is insane.
Let's see. So Yummy, great podcast for a great show. Mongoose Dude says, great hosts. Lefty T, the best AfterBuzz TV podcast. Mr. Nice Guy 80, please, oh God, please, I offer you a review to satisfy the podcast gods that we will not have to endure another choral concert. Garen 88, spectacular after show. Ciao from Italy. Hi, Italy.
Hi, Italy. We love our international fans. You guys are awesome.
The Big Red Axe writes in, Mac, how dare you cheat on me with that poor excuse for a blade? You will regret this. The Big Red Axe is on the wall.
Love it.
I am so interested in the lore that is being presented in our iTunes comment
TD Yanks 23 says, a review for avoidance. Another person who just does not want us to sing.
Please don't.
Oh, it's going to be fun when it happens. And then last but not least,
of course,
Phil Coulson's Left Hand says, I've been a little busy this week, so you don't mind if I take some time to write letters, right? First, to Mac the Axe, or Max Axe. I forget exactly what it was, sue me. How dare you for both the extremely rude and hurtful comments you've said about me and the fact that, oh yeah, you chopped me off. That was the most dramatic moment of my life. Besides having to watch Phil kiss Rosalind, ugh, you better explain yourself or I'll come into Phil's office and punch you myself. Second, to the showrunners, writers of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I demand more time on screen. I was in like one scene. And since then, you had me on call literally every day. Being a method actor, I stay in a glass box, but I haven't been let out. Expect a call from my lawyer. Phew.
Phil Coulson's left hand isn't going to like those glamour shots of the robot hands.
I'm glad I could get that off my thumb. Palm? What's the equivalent of a chest? Probably palm, right? Forget about it. Thank you, Phil Coulson's left hand. Thank you.
These are brilliant.
I don't know what to say.
I hope Phil Coulson's left hand is saving or screenshotting all of their comments. And you're doing the same.
I want it chronicled I want it in chronological order. I want a compendium by the time Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes to an end.
Yes, we need a scrapbook, a compendium, any of that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Let's get back to it. So the next thing we have to talk about is really kind of this hunt for Giera, actually. I mean, because they spend a good portion of, like, tracking down different shell companies, basically checking off the supervillain cliche list that Hydra is doing, looking for more things. And one of the things that they find is these experiments with all these moths and,
I guess,
and birds.
Aviary creatures.
I bet my guess, and we'll have to see whether or not this pans out, is that this was the science side of Hydra trying to find a way to combat Hive or to neutralize Hive with science. I don't know. That's just a thought.
They blinded Hive with science?
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
I think we might have a song option.
Stop encouraging people.
So
enough with the incentives.
So the fact that this is a factor is very interesting, especially because Simmons is the one that sort of is connecting the dots, looking at the Hive pathogen and looking at these experiments. So I think if anybody has a chance of destroying Hive with science, it's going to be her.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, they're going for the science route. Try to cut off especially if he does start to get thralls or whatever. Oh, this is an interesting thought. So if Hive has kept, we don't necessarily want them to do this, but if Hive has kept the Ward body alive now and has brought it like fully back to life, effectively, if they kill Hive with whatever that virus is, does that bring Ward back?
It could potentially save Ward.
I don't want them to do that, for the record. I'm just seeing the possibility now.
I wonder if, to me, that doesn't make too much sense. Because, like, Ward was dead before Hive took over.
But he's essentially been reanimated.
Right, but only because he's the host of the parasite.
We don't know whether all of the internal stuff is working as a regular live body should.
I can't think that it does, given the fact that Hive just, like, peeled back Ward's face and head to reveal, like, his
An
actual
octopus
form.
Face.
That's a good point.
Because he literally peeled away his face.
But we don't know whether or not, like, everything on a microscopic level will go back to normal.
I mean, we know he can go back to being
Ward. He can change his form whenever he wants.
True.
So,
Just like most, like, things on S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, yes, the comic book character would always look like that.
Yeah.
But we can't do that.
We can't do that from a budgetary perspective.
Expensive.
And I don't want them to do that either because, again, I really, really liked Ward being dead.
I feel
dead.
Like he's been brought back once already. Like, if Hive gets destroyed, bringing Ward again would kind of be like, where are you going with him now?
But if he remains alive, it could still very well destroy him because we don't know the psychological effects of having been this creature's host, because no one's lived to tell the tale.
Right.
So he might, even though he might live, he might be it might still destroy him as a person.
I guess that's a good way to, I don't know, like, what does it give us the answer to know that, like, Will is no longer, even though the host has left Will? The host left Will, right?
Oh, yeah, no, Will is a fiery skeleton man.
Like, he's done for.
Yeah, no, but this is different because Hive didn't have anybody to feed off of when he inhabited Will.
That's true.
He's back up to full speed.
Yeah, his powers are back but, in full force.
Speaking of Will, I like the idea of Simmons being the one to, like, figure out the science to combat Hive, because it brings back to what we were saying earlier about how, like, Will's memories and, like, Will's personality can come out, and that can totally affect how she puts forth, like,
and
that.
Let's not forget, she ran from this thing for months, trying to stay alive. This is the thing that haunted her dreams and her waking hours for months.
So we've got three people haunted by this thing. We've got Gideon, Coulson, and potentially Simmons.
Do you guys think that Gideon will come around to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side?
To save himself?
To save himself?
I think he knows he can't be saved. He knows how he's going to die, but I think he might come around to S.H.I.E.L.D. to be like, this, I have nothing left to lose now. This thing killed my daughter, it killed my brother. It's going to kill me. I want to help you take it down. If I have to die, I want to take this thing down with me.
Like he said, he doesn't want to go a coward this episode.
And he's believed in a false god his whole life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like hearing the story that, like, this god they worship, and, like, if he hears the truth, like, he was built by the Kree. Like, built, like, your god was built by an alien race.
Your,
like,
god was just some guy at one point.
Yeah.
Who went through the Terrigen Mist, became a slug man, and then just happened to have, yeah, this just happens to be his awful curse ability thing, and he went mad with power.
Yeah.
And now he's been living off of Malik's scraps, the Malik family's scraps, for years and years and years. So, anyway, but one thing we should probably touch on is a little bit more of the stuff with Giera, because they capture him with this epic fight scene with May.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean Iron Chef versus Mulan?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, that's how I'm reading this fight, and I'm like, this is amazing.
I think in real life, oh my gosh, the actor's name escapes me, but the Iron Chef guy, I think he actually is a martial artist.
Oh, yeah.
He would have to be.
I feel like I read that somewhere. But anyway, I think just like... oh my gosh. Her name escapes me, too. May.
Oh. Ming-Na?
Ming-Na. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. But just like her, I think he's very well trained in the martial arts.
Yeah, no. And they put on a heck of a show with this fight.
Yeah.
It was pretty fantastic. And it was downright terrifying when he found a way to get out of that power containment room and actually actively hijack the ship. Yeah,
that
was
crazy.
That was terrifying.
I want to be a writer in that room and be like, he could totally control the plane.
The one thing that I will say about his power, they established, okay, he can control any inorganic matter. Clothes, dude.
Yes.
Like, he could have made May a rag doll. Like, all he has to do is, like, throw the clothes that she's
in. How humiliating.
I don't know. Maybe he has standards? Or maybe the fabric isn't strong enough for that. Like, he's tried it before, and then just people's, like, shirts or sleeves rip and stuff like that. And he's like, well, that didn't plan. That didn't go out.
He could make Coulson punch himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an awesome twist when Coulson goes, and you're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, see, Coulson's
left hand.
Coulson's left hand, if you were there, he would have had him.
Mark DeCascos.
Coulson would have had.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steven.
He would have had Giera if only Coulson's left hand was there.
Well, yeah. Lots of regrets this episode. You know, Coulson has to live with his guilt, and Yeah, and also the fact that he doesn't have a hand anymore. Yeah. But yeah, no, a lot
I
of good stuff.
I love that stuff, though, when he's, like, clenching his fist and, like, the
circuitry.
Yeah, that was cool.
No, that was really good. And I did like the heart-to-heart he had with Fitz, just the fact that he kept, like, telling himself we do what we have to do as a way to justify it, but it was 100% revenge.
Yeah.
And because he chose to take revenge... this has literally come back to haunt them.
Like May said, he enjoyed this. This is the one kill that he actually wanted to do and actually enjoyed doing.
Yeah. And now the consequences are staring him in the face, mm-hmm. and have potentially doomed the rest of the team, if not for the Secret Warriors coming to the rescue.
We do have somebody in the chat like clarifying like that he can. This is interesting because I thought he was a metal bender.
That's what basically. I thought too.
But this episode, they established that he could only be. It was anything in his field. Anyway, we don't have time. We have like 5 minutes left, and we still.
Yeah,
have
no, I agree. So I thought it was strictly metal, which would make sense why having him in the middle of the ship makes no like is terrible, but also why he wouldn't be able to control clothes or shoes and things like that. Yeah. Anywho, we need to wrap it up because there's some news to talk about today. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with this episode?
No, that was pretty much. We have tons of stuff, but we'll get to that in predictions. Let's do news and gossip.
All right. Let's talk
AfterBuzz TV News.
There's a few interesting stories. Like, we only have time to cover a little bit. But the ones that pertain to the TV universe especially, Kevin Feige has been doing a bunch of interviews in leading up to the Captain America premiere, which was tonight. So jealous of anyone who's there. I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. We know people who have seen it.
Where were our tickets, Marvel?
Yeah, where was our invite to the premiere?
Anyway, Kevin Feige was asked about crossovers between the TV universe and the cinematic universe. Well, it's all cinematic. Anyway, in the films. And he didn't say never, but he more or less said never. He basically was like, when the time is right. Like, he was like, he's saying he's open to it, but like there's no plans for it happening anytime soon.
I feel like
I saw
so
an article
far into planning for the future of the universe. That
Well, that was what the main thing he was saying is that it's difficult because TV shows need to be planned out, but movies also need to be planned out years in advance, and it's hard to make the two bend to each other. That's what S.H.I.E.L.D. does. S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically reacting. Mm-hmm. More or less to what they see on the film and finding ways to slide in there. And I'm sure that S.H.I.E.L.D. will find ways to react to Civil War. But Civil War is not reacting to S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's unfortunate, but at least they're considering it.
And granted, I would need to double-check articles to substantiate this, but I remember seeing articles that estimate that when we get to Infinity, you know, the Infinity War, that those movies are going to have up to 68 characters in them, like characters. So whether or not that means pulling from the TV universe, whether that number was complete BS.
I did a list at one point. I talked about it on Marvel Movie News, like where I like went through all of the established characters and only got to like 62.
Dang. Yeah, so we're still missing a couple.
Yeah.
There's still time, Wolverine.
And that was including, like, people like Aunt May and Mary Jane Watson. Just, like, in case, I still didn't get to 68.
All right.
The other big news... What was the other big news? Not the trailer.
Oh.
There was something
else. I've just been thinking about the premiere.
Yeah.
There's so much, but... The trailer.
The trailer.
Let's talk Doctor Strange.
We don't have much time, but oh my god.
It was like,
what?
Well, looking at the beauty of the Thor movies through a kaleidoscope. Like, that's how gorgeous the effects in this trailer were.
It does look stunning.
It's like, I think at one point you said Inception, kaleidoscope was what I kept thinking.
Yeah, you've got the world that, it looks like it's folding in on itself. I mean, I can't wait to see what kind of
should
context.
Should we have said spoilers, by the way, for anybody who hasn't seen this trailer?
It's a trailer. Go watch, if you're worried, pause this, go watch the trailer.
Go watch
it's a trailer, it's not a movie, like... There's no spoiler alerts for trailers.
I mean, Tilda Swinton.
Tilda
Swinton looked amazing in this movie.
I just, like, everything, like, look, I'm not going to like pretend to be a Marvel expert. That's Matt Key. But like everything I know about the character, like him laying in the hospital bed, running through the streets, that beard, like where he looks ragged. And then, like, the like, I'm sorry, I have to call it a force ghost, because, like, I know it's not, but, like, it's just, it is a force ghost.
The ghost of Doctor Strange, yeah.
But, like, but him, like, stepping out of his body, like, the what would that, the...
Out of body...
Astral projecting.
Thank you. Ah. The astral projection of Doctor Strange. Oh my god, this is just like, because they know what this is. This isn't, like, a superhero who uses magic. They know what Doctor Strange is, clearly.
Yeah. And for people who, like, know... People who, like me, who know who Doctor Strange is, but only know him in the periphery of knowing him, how he relates to people like Spider-Man or to the Avengers and things like that, as somebody kind of on the outskirts, this is a really good way to be introduced to him.
That's kind of the position I'm in. I mean, I know him from the Infinity Gauntlet, and that's where I'm most familiar with him, and I love his character in that book.
The most I know about him was from the Dormammu stuff in the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. So I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. But this it looks really good. I'm still... I think Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be great. Oh, I'm so still great. A little bummed they didn't choose to vary their casting a little bit. But he's a great actor, and he definitely, like, and the
in
costumes.
In terms of Doctor Strange?
Yeah, because I think he's supposed to be from the Middle East or something.
No.
No?
He's just some guy?
Well,
he's a doctor. He's like a surgeon. He's like, I think he's American in the books.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
But no, he is a doc. He's like a surgeon. Anyway. Regardless.
Neither here nor there. Point is, everything in this trailer looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see for more.
Yeah, and if you want more about Doctor Strange, tune into Marvel Movie News, which will be on the Popcorn Talk Network, our sister network, where the voice of Doom and mostly Matt Key will absolutely be going off the rails. Matt Key is our Doctor Strange clone. If you're not familiar,
really?
He looks like Doctor Strange, loves Doctor Strange, knows the character inside and out. Trust me, you're going to want to be there.
We're doing a double
episode. We're going to do an extra long episode so that they have time to get into this. And I'll be in the booth running that show.
It sounds like you guys are in good hands.
The bit of news that was important to S.H.I.E.L.D. that I wanted to talk about really quick was the Inhumans movie is potentially getting pushed back. And there were rumors of cancellation a little while ago. Then Disney announced that Indiana Jones 5 was going to come out like 2 weeks within the release date that was scheduled for Inhumans.
And
Disney's not going to stack tent poles on top of each other like that. So Kevin Feige was asked about it, and he said that they are likely going to push Inhumans. They don't know to when, and it hasn't been decided yet.
And nothing's been set in stone.
I still think... just take it off of the movies. Inhumans on TV, on like a Netflix style Inhuman Game of Thrones is all I'm saying. Royal family.
But the big screen, Zach.
But you could do so much more. Like, all I'm saying is Game of Thrones, inner politics of the royal family of Inhumans with Medusa crazy hair and Black Bolt shouting. I want it.
It sounds really epic.
I want it.
When you say it out loud,
politics.
I'm like, hell yeah.
When you think it sounds insane. But
when you say it,
coupled with your enthusiasm.
I guess it's the other way. When you say it, it sounds
crazy.
Nuts. Stop. Think about it.
Stop thinking your crazy thoughts, Zach.
It may never happen because Feige loves the Inhumans, and I think, and he and Perlmutter, who's in charge of the TV division, do not get along.
Don't see eye to eye necessarily. Well, and again, the whole fate of ABC Studios is still sort of up in the air because of management changes that happened recently. Something we didn't mention, Cloak & Dagger.
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger's there's so much to talk about.
That show was announced. We don't have time to really go into that, but that's something that happened.
On Freeform, so it's going to be a young adult style show, presumably within the MCU.
Cool.
Cloak and Dagger.
Stuff and things, guys, and things and stuff. Okay, we got to do some rapid fire predictions and then get out of here so everyone can go home.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, so next episode, Secret Warriors, but there's a traitor amongst us.
They want us to think it's Lincoln. I don't know.
I'd be heartbroken if it was Joey. Oh, I'd be sad.
I thought from the beginning too. I still think it could be him.
I think so too.
Because I said that early on that I think he could fill either the Hellfire role from the books or the Druid role.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to betray them, well, the betrayal is Hellfire's story. So.
Well,
it could be Lincoln. Lincoln's following Hellfire's path. He's dating Daisy, and they're
one of the new recruits could actually already be infected by Hive, but nobody knows about it yet. So that's what I'm anticipating is the betrayal is that it turns out one of them is actually currently infected.
So it's not really in their control.
Yeah, that's my thought, but I don't have really a whole lot
as
to back that up.
As far as he can't control inhumans.
Yes, he can. I mean,
can he?
He pacifies
them or something.
He turns them into true believers. Again, yeah. It hasn't been clearly defined, but I'm thinking it's mind control.
He controls them one way or another.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that he got to one of them. And that against their will, they will be the traitor.
Yeah.
This is going to be a blast.
I think you all have valid points.
Like six episodes.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be so good.
All right, guys. That just about wraps it up for tonight. Anything else before we got to get
no.
out? All right. No. Well, again, thank you so much to everybody who tuned in to watch. Thank you to everybody who's rated and left a comment. Remember, get us to 600 whether you want us to sing or not. We promise we have something for everybody.
If you get us to 600, we won't show it on the air.
We are going to sing, but yeah, but we will do it separately if we pass 600. If not, you guys are gonna see it.
What are you trying to do to my online presence?
and blinded me with science. So. Maybe that's what we'll run with. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Everybody who stayed up late. Yeah. Zach, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Please go to my YouTube page, that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON, and hit me with subscribe. I'm trying to get 2,000 subscribers in 2016. That's my goal for the year.
It's got some good stuff.
And I'm also on a whole bunch of shows here, including the Daredevil panel, where Jesse will be joining me along with the rest of the panel. Wednesday night at 11 p.m. to talk about episodes 11 and 12. And then next week we're finally going to be able to watch the finale. Oh my God, I can't. I'm so tense, but I haven't been spoiled yet. I'm so excited. And also as the voice of Doom on Marvel Movie News on Popcorn Talk.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, I don't know how I could follow that.
No.
All I can say is you guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I've got some behind-the-scenes snaps of us here on the panel, and I'll see you guys next week.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also follow Jesse Klein on Twitter at JessKlein1. So, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Together till the end.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.